D-Mace, Vingen and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Chad Withrow. Chad, how are you?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Always a pleasure. So, Chad, Lane Kiffin has been getting a lot of the attention for the things that he has said this offseason. But I think the coach who has actually stepped in it the most is Steve Sarkisian. There was the basket-weaving comment he made about Ole Miss, and now Texas Tech coach Joey McGuire, is calling his bluff after Sark seemed to take a shot at the Red Raiders. If you were Texas, how would you handle this call-out by Texas Tech?
Well, and I think Texas people are handling it exactly the way I would expect Texas people to handle it, with arrogance. It's just like Steve Sarkisian handled the whole situation. It's, oh, well, if you really want to have a true dialogue about renewing this series, then we can have that. But this is just a PR stunt. I saw someone who covers Texas post that on X last night, and I thought, well, it's all a PR stunt. I mean, what Steve Sarkisian did by dragging Texas Tech through the mud for no reason at all, that's a PR stunt. I mean, all of these things, everything Lane Kiffin says about African-American players not wanting to go to Mississippi and all this, it's all one giant PR stunt. And I think almost every coach is now complicit in it, and it keeps going back and forth. So, look, I love what Texas Tech did in response to that. I love Joey McGuire. I like that Cody Campbell has gotten involved online as well. But to me, it's just this big ping-pong match of PR stunts back and forth, where it's, oh, you guys are dumb, or you guys are racist, or your schedule is weak, and look at us and how much better we are and how much more academic we are at Texas Austin and everything else. It all gets kind of tiresome, to be honest. But I do agree with you, Adam. I think Steve Sarkisian has stepped in it a number of times, and there's no way that he doesn't look like a total coward if he does not take up the challenge from Texas Tech. He won't. Texas won't. They're going to go back to talk about the metrics of their schedule being the toughest in the country and yada, yada, yada. He's not going to take him up on the challenge. And for that reason, I do think that Texas looks like a coward in all this.
Chad, Chaz Coleman's future with the Tennessee Volunteers football program appears to be in jeopardy before he even plays a single game for the Vols. How do you anticipate this situation playing out?
Well, I know Austin Price, who's a great reporter up in Knoxville with VolQuest at On3, he had a report this afternoon saying that Tennessee did protect themselves in terms of the money with NIL. That after the whole no-show or showing up for a week or whatever he did, then he left because he was complaining of concussion-like symptoms from this past season, and that he was homesick and all these other things, and that he was dealing – all I keep hearing is that he's dealing with some stuff. He's dealing with some personal issues. But that when he left, Tennessee did restructure the NIL contract where he's not going to get the bulk of his money until late fall if he's actually there on campus. Here's my thing with this, guys. If he's got some sort of mental issue, then I want to be sensitive to that, and I hope he gets it corrected. But in the real world, and this is what all the players have fought for and what they want, we are adults. We contribute to large amounts of money being made by these universities and by these television networks and by these schools, everything else. We want our chunk of the pie. We want to get paid like professionals get paid. And a lot of these guys are getting paid, in some cases in college basketball, they're getting paid more than NBA players. So if you're going to do that, there's a responsibility that comes with it that's even greater than those of the student athletes that we knew before. So if Chaz Coleman wants to take $2 million, which I'm told is the number that he took to go to Tennessee, then guess what? You got to show up to work out. You got to go to practice. You got to be ready to play. If you're hurt, you're hurt, and you can't do it. But if you're physically able to do it, then you need to be there. If not, you don't get paid. If not, that money goes back in the kitty for Tennessee to go back in the transfer portal and go find another edge rusher next year. I'm so tired of all the excuse making for players when it comes to situations like this. And thank God these situations are few and far between, where someone takes the bag and then no-shows on it. We don't hear about it a ton of times. Usually it's done on the up and up. A guy who's getting paid a lot of money is worth it. and he shows up to work and he tries to be a good teammate and he tries to contribute. That's not the case right now with Chaz Coleman. I don't know the reasons, but if it's homesickness, get out of here with that. Pay back all the money so Tennessee can go and find the next edge rusher next year and you can go home.
Chad, I want to ask you an NBA question that we were discussing before you came on. Of course, SGA, once again, the MVP of the league, the Oklahoma City Thunder, one win away from returning to the NBA Finals. And a lot of attention has been on SGA's propensity for falling whenever he enters any defender's orbit. And we were playing a clip from Mike Wilbon of ESPN on Get Up where he said, if the Thunder go back to the NBA Finals and win because of how influential SGA is as a player, how good he is as a player, kids are going to be flopping all over the court. Do you think that SGA, and I mean, it's laughable as we talk about it, but do you think like kids are going to emulate SGA if he and the Thunder go back?
I mean, I think they already are. Like, let's not act like SGA invented flopping. You know, like how many times do we see at every level of basketball and really good basketball players with that sort of exaggerated flop when you're dribbling the ball down the court and someone's guarding you tightly and they start to fall back like they're getting fouled? I mean, that's been around for, what, 5 years now that we've seen that more and more. So I don't think SGA invented the flop. I don't think it's great for the sport when one of the biggest stars flops as much as he does, but I'm also not going to pin flopping on SGA from here on out. If you guys remember when Steph Curry was hitting threes from half court, basically, that was an impact on the game. Everyone started saying, boy, the game of basketball is not going to be good anymore because everyone believes they can hit a three, and now that range goes further and further out, even if the player doesn't have that range. That was the Steph Curry effect on basketball that was going to kill the game. I don't think that killed the game. I think it's a game now where all five positions usually can shoot it from deep and will do it. I don't necessarily think that's been a bad thing for the game. I don't like the flopping part of it. My biggest issue is the NBA, and look, after game one, guys, I was all in. Mm-hmm. In that Thunder-Spurs game. I mean, that was incredible. I'm thinking this is going to be back and forth, close game after close game. I don't know that we've gotten a close game since then. We got a close series. We're going to have a seventh game, but every game has been a blowout. There's just too many blowouts to sprinkle in those really good games in between. That's the issue that I look at with the NBA the most, is it feels like once one team gets behind, too often it gets out of hand and there's no ability to come back. So I want to see some closer games, but hey, we got a seventh game in that series, which I do think is very good for the sport. And what I saw in that first game was incredible from Wimby and SGA and everybody involved. That was hardcore basketball that I remember watching in the 90s, and I was very impressed. I just want to see more of that.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like we're going to get it. And I think it's going to be an excellent finals, whoever makes it out of this series with San Antonio and OKC. I think it's going to be a terrific finals. But like you said, this whole SGA thing, I'm afraid that he's mastered it. You're right. He didn't invent it. But he has damn sure mastered on how to manipulate the referees and falling all the time. And I think that's what the fans, especially now that they're winning too, so they're on television a lot more than in what they were. I just think now fans are getting tired of it. And I think Adam Silver is going to have to address. You remember they had a flopping rule not too long ago.
Yep.
And I don't know if they adjusted it or they just don't abide by it. But this has been a part of the league, you know, before it has been now.
Yeah, and I think you're right, D-Base. When you make it a part of your game, right? Like, it's one thing to, I'm going to exaggerate this foul where I was actually fouled. Like, there's a part of basketball that goes back, you know, decades that you sell the foul. But you do it when you're fouled. When you have a total style of play that I am going to do this to create a fake foul on this play, and this is just one of the moves that I have in my bag of tricks, and I'm going to do it repeatedly, I don't think that part of it is good for the game. And the league does need to look into it, especially if Oklahoma City wins back-to-back championships, in large part because of this. Look, I'm all Knicks at this point. I hope they go on. I'm not a Knicks fan. I never have been. But I like those huge fan bases in a big market that haven't won in many years. And when they get a chance to play for a championship, it's always cool to watch those fan bases. Mm-hmm. So I'm all Knicks moving forward. maybe the Knicks can do God's work and put SGA and his flopping out of the finals and not let that team win back-to-back championships.
I know Knicks fans are hoping so, Chad. I don't know if we spoke to you during the SEC meetings about Sankey. If we did, excuse me for asking a question again. But there was a question asked about the SEC compared to the Big Ten. And listen, we're in this, you know, SEC bubble, and it's great. And we perceive the SEC to be one way. But has their perception across, you know, the landscape of college sports, has that changed as far as them being, you know, at the top of the mountain?
I mean, 100%. It's changed. And I like Greg Sankey. And Greg Sankey's job is to sell the SEC at all costs and always say things that are going to benefit the SEC. So I know that's part of the gig for him. But, I mean, he came across like the Cavs coach talking about how analytically they won all three games when they were down 0-3, when you look at the analytics of it, when he talks about the SEC versus the Big Ten. The SEC for years, D-Mace, had no problem propping up the national champion coming from that conference, right? They've done it in baseball, I think, in softball now too. They want to sell that we have the national championship, so we are the best conference. Well, now that the shoe is on the other foot and the Big Ten can tout that, the SEC can't run and hide too well. If you look analytically at our conference and top to bottom and the strength of schedule and everything else, we're still the best. Which, by the way, he's right. Mm-hmm. The SEC top to bottom is better than the Big Ten top to bottom. Mm-hmm. But the top of the Big Ten is at the top of the mountain now for the last few years. So you have to acknowledge that. You can't pick and choose your arguments and say, well, now it's all about strength of schedule and quality of conference 1 through 16, where before it was all about who was the national champion. So, I think Greg Sankey's just doing his job, and that's to prop up the SEC, but I also don't think anyone should buy it. The Big Ten's on top right now, and the SEC, it's fine to acknowledge that in this moment, the Big Ten owns college football.
Now, will we ever see a collective bargaining between the players and, you know, those that represent the upper echelon of college sports? Because it seems like they're trying to get bipartisan legislation passed so some of these things can be put back in order or some of these guardrails can be put on. But ultimately, it seems like it's going to have to be collectively bargained, which means you're going to have a union on one side and then obviously what the NCAA is going to do on their side.
Yeah, I think, and I am not, you know, privy to all the legalities of it, but I believe what Congress is trying to do right now, this is step one to bring the players in to then collectively bargain. Mm-hmm. So they have to get this passed through and get some regulation with this to then go and, okay, now the players can have a seat at the table and start to negotiate what a CBA would look like, what being employees at the university would look like, and all of those things. But absolutely. I mean, for this thing to be legit, players are going to have to be represented in some way. It's just going to have to be the stakeholders of the sport. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't. They keep running to Congress to get to fix it. I don't think that's the answer. It's going to have to be the athletic directors, the coaches, the boosters, the player agents, the players, everyone that's a stakeholder in college sports is going to have to get together, and they're going to have to negotiate something that makes sense. And to do that, you're going to have to give something up. And we hear it with Greg Sankey all the time. No one is willing to give anything up. There have been people who have talked about, at some point you have to do what's best for the good of the game and not what's best for you. Mm-hmm. But when it comes time to put your money where your mouth is, no one does it. They do what's best for them. And then everybody runs off into their separate corners and nothing gets accomplished. So for us to have any resolution, guys, somebody's going to have to swallow their pride and say, yeah, I'm going to take less money, or I'm going to do this because it is what's right for the health of the entire situation. And hopefully that happens sooner rather than later.
Now, Chad, I was just thinking, and I don't know why I haven't thought of this before, and it may just be because it's not going to happen or it's just crazy. Eventually, yes, they're going to have to set up some type of collective bargaining. They're going to have to form a union, which Northwestern tried to do many years ago, and they shut it down. I'm pretty sure they wishing they would have did it then, and they wouldn't have the headache they have now. But when you involve a union, everything is collectively bargained. I now become an employee. How does that affect school?
Yeah, I think school's optional. I mean, at that point, I really think you're looking at, you could go to school if you want.
Wow.
And you can entice guys to do that. But I mean, I think college sports is over as you know it. Like, if you don't want to go to school and you want to be an adjunct employee of Michigan State football, you know, D-Mace, you can do that and not attend classes. I think that's kind of what it looks like. And people will, you know, cynical people say, well, that's going on now. You know, guys, they never step foot in the classroom. Everything's online. They're not really concerned about getting a degree. They're just there to play sports anyway. So what's the matter? There's just something very unsavory about the thought of that, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's,
you know,
what I'm
you're
going
to have guys who are just living in the city that are just paid.
That's minor league.
To play for the team. Yeah. I mean, and look, again, the cynic will say, mm-hmm. well, it's already minor league. It's minor league for the NFL. And yes, it is. But part of this whole deal was, you're also going to give people a free opportunity to get a degree mm-hmm. and go do something else once they're done playing. And I don't want that to be eliminated. But I do think that if it's collectively bargained and they're all employees, then it's no different than being a professor or a janitor at the school. I mean, you're getting paid to do a service, and that service is not to go to biology class. That service is to run routes or block for someone or go tackle someone. And that's the way it'll be.
Chad Withrow has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan and Donick. He joins us every Friday. Chad, as always, a pleasure. We'll catch up next week.
Yep. Have a great weekend, guys. Thanks.
615-737-1025. Let's talk a little bit more about this bubbling feud between Texas Tech and Texas. You know me. I love a good promo, and that's what Joey McGuire did for Steve Sarkisian. We'll discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.